Bible study. Those of you who are in-house, welcome, all of you. And those of you who are viewing via live stream, I'd like to welcome you to tonight's Bible study. And tonight, we are going to dive deeper into the book of James. You know, we've been talking about this book of wisdom for a while now, and we've got to learn that, you know, it's not only Solomon who wrote on wisdom, but also we've come to find out more wisdom from James. And if you are looking to increase your wisdom, we've learned that one of the places that we can look in is in the book of James. We've covered all the chapters up to today. We are going to be talking about chapter 8. And I hope you are all excited to dive into this chapter to see what wisdom we can gain. I don't know about you, but I need more wisdom for my life. Hallelujah. And tonight, I hope we are all eager. You know, we are like the people of the Bereans. We are eager to see what the Word of God say, and we are eager to apply it to our lives. So tonight, let's begin with prayer, and we will go straight into it. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for bringing us together tonight to study your word, O God. For how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together like this. I pray tonight that you will be in our midst. I pray that your spirit shall be in our midst to show us and to teach us from your word. I pray for those who are here in the building, those that are watching via YouTube, Lord, and other platform, I pray, oh God, that they will not just hear my voice, but they will hear the voice of the Holy Ghost, and that he will illuminate all of us, and that we will not only be hearers, but we'll be doers of your word. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Pastor B, you are welcome. It's good to see all of you here tonight. And right before we dive into our text for today, I would like us to look at what we studied last week. Now, last week, we covered James chapter 7, right? How many of you were here? Please show by hands if you were here. Okay, so some of us were here, some weren't. Apostle Jide, you are welcome. It's good to see you. It's good to see you all. So let's do a quick recap, all right? So last week, we learned about how to tame the tongue. You know, this tongue of ours is not the easiest to tame. But last week, we looked through scripture based on James' prescription on how to deal with this tongue of ours. And I would like us to do a quick overview. Who remembers anything, anything that they learned from last week? What was one of the takeaways from last week? Who would like to go? And, you know, when we come together like this, we are all learning from one another. So it's supposed to be interactive, and there will be a point that I may, you know, call on you. So before I call on you, please be kind enough to to participate. And those of you also on live stream, you are welcome. Please feel free to put your questions in the chat, and we will answer them as we go along. So any volunteers, what did you learn last week? Anyone? What is, yes, let's have our brother.
Hallelujah. One of the things that I learned from last week was although the tongue is the smallest, it's one of the smallest organ in the body, it has one of the most powerful things. It can kill, it can bring life, it can also, it can do so much things. It can bring, the tongue can put a whole two nations to war, so.
Yeah. Thank you for that, my brother. So yes, indeed, the tongue can build, the tongue can destroy. So we have to be very, very careful how we use this tongue of ours. Anybody else? Yeah. Pastor B. Oh, yeah.
One of the takeaways was the example you and your wife shared about how you help each other. So the reality is that we are all, this is, taming the tongue is something that we will all have to deal with as God's children. And it's good to have people in our lives that can help us. So I really love when both of you shared how, as parents, you know your role, you want to speak life. But the reality is that we live in this life and things will happen in the relationship with the children and you help each other to say, no, we're not going there. So that was just, and that was a practical lesson that I think is very encouraging.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, last week, Mr. Neoma shared, really enlightened me with some of the wisdom that she taught us on how to deal with the tongue. And she said, you know, don't speak too much. Just minimizing how much you speak will avoid you from saying certain things, you know, or causing certain problems through what you say. She also did say that we don't speak too soon. Don't speak too soon, all right? Don't speak without first listening. How many of you agree with that? That we must be quick to listen, right? And be slow to speak. That's what scripture tells us to do. And also, she also did mention about the relationship between the tongue and the heart. Does anyone want to speak in regards to that? How what we say has so much to do with what is in our heart. Anybody wants to share on that? Even if you are not here, if you like to share something on that, yes.
I remember this part because I asked a question related to it. So I think what I remember is that we speak from the abundance of our heart. So we have to make sure that we start by, you know, just trusting the Holy Spirit to do a work within us. So whatever comes out of our mouth is reflected from what is already in our hearts. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So we have to watch our heart. We have to watch our heart if we are going to speak life. You know, scripture tells us that life and death lies in the power of the tongue. The tongue can speak, can produce life. The tongue can also produce death. So we have to be careful what we say. So in a nutshell, this is what we discussed last week, and we are going to move on to chapter 8. Interestingly, you know, it starts by talking about the tongue and the effects of it, you know, and taming it. And then it goes into chapter 8, where now it's dealing with quarrels. Now, this is something that I believe that we can all relate with, right? Right? In our homes, amongst our siblings, you know, in our workplaces, in our marriages, we see it everywhere, right? So this is a topic that I believe will benefit every single one of us. Amen? Amen. And, you know, this is going to help improve our relationships because this is dealing with relationships. So we are going to dive into it. So we are looking at James. All right, so let's go to James chapter 8. All right, please open to it. We are reading the New Living Translation. And I'll need a reader. So anyone can volunteer.
Do you mean James 4?
I mean James chapter 4, sorry. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we are reading the whole, please read the whole chapter for us.
So I read, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is compassionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, and he gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Verse 11, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what rights do you have to judge your neighbor? 13. Look here, you who say... The whole chapter.
12, if you read up to 12, right?
Yes.
So that's good. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, so this is our text for today, and today we are talking about the cause of quarrels. Okay, so what are quarrels? You know, sometimes we think we know the meaning of words, but really, what are quarrels? So when you look in the dictionary, quarrel means to argue. You know, arguing, conflicts, fighting, you know, having disagreements, falling out, and having disputes. Okay, so here James is speaking to the church, right? He's speaking to Christians, right? So we need to understand the context of this particular text, that he's not talking to unbelievers, but he is talking to Christians. So because amongst Christians, there are conflicts, right? There are conflicts, and we need to know how to deal with these conflicts. So today our objective will be studying the fourth chapter of James to discuss the causes of quarrels and how to apply biblical wisdom so that we can live in harmony with one another. All right, so if you have the notes, I'll need somebody to read the introduction. Anybody who can read the introduction? Yeah.
James chapter 4, verse 1 to 12, builds on the end of chapter 13, describing how living according to the world's wisdom led to great conflict among Christians. They were fighting with each other because they couldn't get what they wanted. James gives several reasons why the church was in that condition, and he gave 11 exhortations on how to overcome the sin. Christians are called peacemakers in God's house and not troublemakers. We are all guilty of causing strife among God's people and in our own families because of our sinful nature. Today we are going to study and see biblical practical ways by which we can prevent quarrels in our families, communities, and in the church.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so when we look at this particular text, right, it's talking about quarrels within the body. And this is something we can all relate to. So when you read the text, it talks about various things here, right? Did anything in the text speak to you? Is there anything that you found interesting? Anything that you find you'd like to question about anyone? Anything in that particular text in James chapter 4? Anything? Okay. All right, so, Pastor B.
First, I just wanted to add to when you were giving us the definition of what quarrel is in today's language, beefing also, because, yeah just to add to, so that we can, you know, beefing, that's another word. What comes out, we know that this book was written to believers, but it just to reiterate that, you know, quarrels do happen in the body, in the church, and because sometimes when it happens, people really, we are shocked, like, wow. But this tells us that even for those in the early church, they experienced it, and we should, but there's a solution, which is really the goal here. We are peacemaker. It doesn't, that stands that we are peacemaker, but quarrels will still happen, though.
Yeah, I think James flips the switch here by really saying a lot of time when there's quarrel, there's an underlying issue on the person quarreling. It's not usually the other person. And I think this is really, really powerful. And studies have actually shown this also, that when you see a quarrelsome person, it is usually because they have some inner healing issues. Which is what he's trying to say, that really, quarrels really do come from evil desire inside people, something wrong inside. And he said a lot of time is because there is lack of fulfillment, all right? It's because people don't have something they want to have. Something is missing inside of the inside. And he's saying that... And instead of trying to fill that void, somehow you pick up quarrels. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to say, really, a lot of time we want, also he's saying here, a lot of time we quarrel because we're looking from people what only God can give. And instead of going to God, we obviously people don't, so we look to other people. And so a lot of time quarrel, they just point to something deeper missing inside of us. And I think that's powerful. That's what Jim is trying to say here.
Wow. Thank you, Apostle. Yes, Israel, right over here, please.
So one of the things that I'm seeing here is talking about humility. He kept saying, submit yourself, be humble. So one of the major things that really, like Pastor B said, we know quarrel always come.
Right.
But I'd say that one of the things that makes quarrel linger is pride.
Right.
That's what makes it linger. Amen.
Right. Right. Thank you. All right. So thank you so much for all the contributions. And at this time, I'd like us to look at some of the questions that we have here. So the first one says that describe a situation when an issue you have been battling in your heart spilled over into your actions or relationships. Okay, so this one, it's gonna take a little bit being vulnerable to share, all right? Any bold, all right, Israel? Thank you so much for sharing.
Praise God. I can't believe I'm about to share this, but
I think a few of my friends here know, one of the things that I've battled with, and it's owing more to my upbringing, has been, I have an issue with being shouted at. Like, if I feel like you're attacking me or you're raising your voice, it literally unscrews. I don't hear anything you say anymore. Like, I literally don't hear anything you say. And I've had a few times when someone is trying to say something to me, and when I go back to think about it, they don't mean bad. Like, they are actually saying something that is of essence, of value. But because I feel attacked, like, I tend to, like, lose it. And I think the last occurrence of this that made me feel very foolish with my reaction, I went back to the Lord. I'm like, it cannot continue like this. And I'm not there yet, but I have seen that God is helping me. And one of the ways that the Spirit of God has been teaching me to address it is not to react immediately. Okay. When that thing is coming, when it's looking like it wants to come, like you're just feeling like, yes, this person is literally about to hit me with an axe. Like, just take a step back and do not open your mouth. Okay. You could smile your way through. You could just take a deep breath. Okay. Think about it some more. This person is not at war against you. You're just, like, literally process it with God. Okay. And then you can react. But that's one of the things that I've had to deal with. Okay. For the most part, yeah.
All right, thank you. Israel, we'll take one more, and we will.
Yeah, my growing up as, you know, when I was growing up, there's something that, you know, being talked down on, like, because I'm the last in the family, so there's this notion that, shut up, you don't know what you're saying, you don't know anything, you don't experience, you know, so that kind of gave me this mindset of, you know, like just want to withdraw, like a kind of inferiority complex. So because of that thing that lingered in my heart for a long time, I became very defensive, you know. Even before someone is saying something, that's not what the person really meant, but because I don't want to be, say, shut up, you don't know anything. So I just naturally want to be defensive. So, but by the grace of God, God is working on me. You know, so I take my time. Even sometimes when I do that, say, hey, that's not what I mean. This is what I'm saying. I say, oh, okay. Or sometimes I tell myself, no, you will not be defensive. Just be quiet and take whatever the person is telling you. Then understand where it's coming from, and then you can now speak. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So thanks for all the contributions. So let's move on to the next one. The next question says, why do we find it difficult to trust God with areas of conflict? I think this is one that we can all, you know, relate to. Yeah.
Sorry. So, I mean, like everybody's saying, we're all growing, and I feel like God has worked on me at this point. But in the past, I just felt like God's way of dealing with people was a little not the way I really wanted to see. You know what I'm saying? It's like God would deal with them differently because you were looking for I was looking for a pattern of how God was going to solve the issue, and he never did it my way. So I figured it was better for me to handle this battle myself, you know, because I just didn't like the way God handled it. But in growing and in getting wisdom, I realized that God has a way of dealing with all of us. So that's how I've learned. That's where I've come at this point. So that's why I was finding it difficult to trust God. I just figured it's... His process was not what it looked like, what I thought it should look like to me.
Okay, thank you. Any other? All right. Okay, so we'll take the next question. How does our relationship with God helps to foster healthy relationships in our family and in the church?
Hello? Oh. For me, when I think of God, God is love. And when we have a relationship with him, we're able to have a healthy relationship with others because we exemplify parts of his character that are needed to connect with others. And love is the foundation of that. So when you know of God's love and you're familiar with it, you can able you are able to expand that love to others.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Another one right here as well. I think the mic. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. It's working.
Okay.
Thank you, Israel. All right. So, when we pursue the right relationship with God, first, it deals with us. Just like Pastor Jide mentioned that the question that James was asking, why do we have quarrels? Is because of the deep things, pain that we carry. So when we connect with God, it deals with those things. It fills us with his love. We receive his love. We receive his forgiveness. We forgive ourselves. So once we receive all this from Jesus, we are able to give it to people in our lives. So that's how it helps us to foster a healthy relationship. We receive humility, you know, because we are able to humble ourselves. We don't think I'm losing something when I greet that person first. So that's how it works.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And I totally agree that, you know, most of the time we don't know what it means to love, that word love. We struggle with, right? And we love the way we were raised, right? We love the way we were raised. For some of us in our childhood, all we knew was, you do me, I do you, right? We operated by the law of retaliation, you know, and this is what Jesus addressed when he met the Pharisees and, you know, the religious people. He said, you were taught that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you know, but you are to pray for, you know, you are to pray for your enemies, you know, and love them irrespective of how they treat you, okay? So having a relationship with God helps us to understand. First of all, it helps you to see your flaws. You know, Isaiah, when he came in contact with God, he said, woe unto me, for I am a man with unclean lips. You see, until you really have a relationship with God, you will not really understand or know the extent of God's love. You know, Paul said that I'm the chief of all sinners. Now, if you look at the story of Paul, from far away, you see him as a very righteous man. But Paul, after having a relationship with God, he understood, he saw his humanity and realized that his righteousness was filthy rags compared to the righteousness of God. So when you have a relationship with God, it makes it easy for you to forgive. It makes it easy for you to get along with people. So thank you so much for all those contributions. The next question is that, what does it mean to judge a brother? Oh, there's another, yes.
Sorry. I also think that there's something about a relationship with God that makes you less, you're not just needy, you're just fulfilled. Mm. You're just satisfied. You just feel like there's contentment. I think there is such a peace, there's such a contentment that really makes it, you're not just as bothered about maybe what other people do. I mean, so it's almost like what Hebrews says, the Lord is with me. He said, I will never leave you. He said, it's claiming the promise of God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is with me, what shall any man do for me? I think there's a place when your relationship with God is so good, is since you're in sync with God, where you're just less affected by, you know, what else is going around with you. And I think that really helps in this issue of conflict, that you're just able to overlook things because there's just such a joy. There's just such a peace, happiness, you know, that God just, me and God are just okay. And I feel so good about that. And I think that that's a very, very good, good place to be.
Thank you for that. That was powerful. So we will take the next question. What does it mean to judge a brother? Because this is something that James addresses in James chapter 4. So what does it mean to judge? Mr. Tayo, can you help us with this one, please? What does it mean to judge?
I'm still trying to take off my jacket. all right, let me take a crack at this. What does it mean to judge a brother? Wow, I guess. I could look at it from different angles, right? I guess seeing ourselves more righteous than our brother, when, you know, we're actually not even that righteous, right? And also, you know, I think one of the things that we mistakenly do as Christians, right, is to kind of say, hey, I am more holy than you, or I'm closer to God than you. Right, you know, when the condition of the heart is even far from that.
Right. Right. Thank you. Okay, anybody wants to add to that? All right. So we'll take the next question. Does it mean that we can't point out others' sins? Why or why not? Does this mean we cannot point out sin? Okay, who wants to take this one? If quarreling is an issue, does that mean we are not supposed to point other sins? Why and why not? Thank you, Pastor Kip.
I mean, I think it's important that we help each other. I think it comes down to the way we do it. I mean, I think a lot of times we don't do it the right way. Mm-hmm. So if we do it from a place of love, from a place of helping another person, from a place of saying, hey, you know, I struggle with this too. You know, I think this, you know, I found, you know, in the word, I found that the correction over here, and this helped me, so maybe this will help you. So it just depends. I mean, you have to be very careful when you're judging, judging a brother, because, you know, you're going to be held to that same type of judgment. So, but I think it's the way we do it. Sometimes we don't do it the right way. We come across very high and mighty and, you know, better. I think we need to get into where the person is and kind of empathize with them and then just try to be a brother that's helping another brother or sister.
Thank you, sir. All right, so we have another one.
Always be kind of hypocritical in how we judge people, because we recognize sin and we call it out, but we don't do it in love. We criticize people. So right. I think there has to be a balance there.
So we are saying that there are times that it's needed to judge, but the way we do it is what matters, right? Thank you. Yes. Any other? So online, we have some comments. One person said, you can only give what you have. When love is deeply rooted in you, it will be easier to give others. I believe we all do agree with that. There's another comment that says, we can point out people's sin to warn and encourage, but never in the perspective that we are better than them. Amen to that. Yes, so
Okay, I also want to add that sometimes when we do that, we tend to get into the person, like, I think we should judge the attitude, that what the person is doing, rather than the person itself. So sometimes we cross the line, and it's a thin line, you know. And while we were asking this question, this scripture just jumped at me. It's in James 5:12. It says, confess your sins one to another. Uh-huh. So that tells us that we all are also guilty one way or the other. So one of the ways we can also, you know, avoid the quarrels or not to linger is also sometimes, you know, even while you're saying that, oh, you need to confess your sin. I did this too, I did that too, but God has helped me. You know, sometimes we feel we are righteous, and we just outrightly judge. Sometimes while we are pointing out those things, we say, you know, some days ago, years ago, I did this, I did that, and this is how God helped me. That way we can be healed. Amen.
Amen.
You have questions for us, Pastor Patrick? Okay, just I want to bring this to the family also. I know we are talking as believers, but this will also help us as parents. You know, we have that authority to correct, to direct our children, but we should do it out of love. We should not embarrass them when we do it. This is something I've learned, and as we're talking, it just occurred to me that we are the ones to show them and guide them, but we should not embarrass them. And like she said, even sometimes say, I struggled with this when I was your age, but I don't want you to go through the same path, because now you know, you have me, you have God, you have the Holy Spirit. So not to embarrass people when we try to correct them.
Thank you very much for all the...
Okay. Yes. Hello. Okay. I don't want to add to what Lady B said. It's very true. So as somebody who works in an education system, you know, when we grow up, we forget that we were teenagers before. And we judge teenagers so harshly, forgetting that we were there before. And like Lady B said, I'm guilty of that, and that's something I have to work on, is that how we do it, and doing it in love, and doing it that you do care, and not a judgmental way. Because sometimes when I see some of the adults who are talking about, like some of my friends were talking about what kids are doing today, and I'm like, do you remember 1996? Like, do you really remember? We forget those things that we have been there, but by the grace of God, those things are deleted in our memory. We have to give other people grace and help them in love. Like our sister said, I don't know your name, but she said, correcting in love, speaking the truth in love is one of the ways that we have to do it.
Amen. Amen to that. So I think we will jump to the application, because at the end of the day, we want to know how we can apply some of the wisdom, you know, from this book. And I think some of them has been shared already. So the first application we have is practicing contentment. And the scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. It says, these are the things you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise, does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have unhealthy interests in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is a great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. So you see that practicing contentment, being happy with what you have, counting your blessing. You know, there's a favorite, you know, I believe it's a hymn that I used to sing when I was younger in church. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. You know, and oftentimes we fail to do this, and, you know, we constantly ask God, what have you done for me lately? You know, and that is not the way we should relate with God. And if we practice contentment on a daily basis, we will have no reason to quarrel. We will have no reason to envy another person. So one of the things that I see as a measure of spiritual maturity is when you can see your brother prospering, and in your heart of heart, you are happy that they are prospering. You know, is seeing your sister getting married, and you are truly in your heart, you are happy for them. You know, your brother buys a Tesla, and he's like, bro, check out my new car. You know, how do you feel? Like, in your heart of heart, are you really happy for them? Or, you know, and this is how you check your heart. If it doesn't sit right here, if you have, like, if it is uncomfortable, then it's a sign. It means that there is something going on in here. Just as James speaks about, you know, in James chapter 1, it says it's your desires that wage inside of you, you know, that causes the strife amongst you. So contentment is a very important thing, practicing that. The next thing is choosing our words carefully. Choosing our words carefully. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierces like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Hallelujah. You know, and we all need to speak words of life, words of healing, rather than having words, reckless words that pierce like swords. So we need to choose our words carefully, especially, you know, last week, Minister Nyoma was saying that when it comes to our words, taming the tongue, sending a text can be very, very damaging. When, you know, in the heat of the moment, you are very upset, somebody says something to you, somebody sent you a message, and you're like, whoa, I need to respond to this one. You know, and you go on a rampage, and you send the text. Now, text messages often cannot be retrieved. I just heard recently that Apple has released, you know, something where you can delete, you know, but most of the time, it's too late. It's too late. I learned very early in life not to send text messages when I am upset. The once or twice I did it, I regretted it. And since then, so we must be very, very mindful of that. So the next thing is walking in love. Walking, yes. Please, yeah.
The choice of words, like you said, is so key. And I believe God is bringing these messages to us from last week's study, for those who were at the marriage conference, because he really wants us to be mindful. There are so many vocabularies going around that they sound good, cool, but before you use them, think about it. Think, you know, there's a better way to get things from people or have people, redirect people. For example, if you feel maybe your husband is not doing something right, instead of you saying, oh, honey, I would like us to have a meeting, maybe a conversation with a pastor or someone, that's a way to say it. But if you go ahead and say, you know what, I'll have pastor grill you. Grill. Like, that's not acceptable, and that will lead to quarrel.
Right.
And these are some of the languages, you know, for this generation in particular. Some of those words, they may sound cool, you know, but it's not edifying, to your point. And the other thing about texting, I have a nephew that got in trouble because, I mean, lost his job. Wow. He was upset. He was texting. And the person snapshot everything, sent it to HR. And major consequences. So Wow. The texting thing, we should really refrain from it.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. In fact, I was just talking to someone a few days ago about sending emails. Anything that is in the form of text can be interpreted in different ways. So, you know, you have to be careful of your choice of words. There have been times, I remember, there have been times when My wife has wanted to send an email in response to something. And because of the nature of that situation, I immediately, you know, tell my wife, I need to see the text before you send it. I said, I need to proofread it. I'm like, baby, send it to me. I'll proofread it. You trust me, right? And she does. So she sends it to me. I said, let me give it a second eye, and I'll do it. She sends it, and she's like, oh, I like the way you put it. You know, and then she'll send it. It's the same message, but framed a little differently. Hallelujah. Amen. So the next one is, we should not give the devil a foothold in our life by holding on to an offense. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 to 27 tells us that in our anger, we should not sin. We should not let the sun go down while we are still angry. And we should not give the devil a foothold. Hallelujah. Anyone wants to say something? Yes. Right over here.
So I think it was 2 weeks ago, or 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm not very good at time. Some weeks back, I had an issue with the person I'm working with, my co-teacher in the class. You know, she said something against me, and that cost me like a week suspension. So that's the second week, because we usually get paid bi-weekly. So the week to when we're supposed to get paid, I remember that morning, I went to the store. So I went to drop my daughter in school. I wasn't going to work that day. So I was driving home. And suddenly, I don't know where that came from. Because even that week I was at home, Holy Spirit had had me to pray for her. All through that week, I should not get upset with her. So I don't know where it came from. I just started saying, I'm so upset. I'm so upset. I was saying it so loud in the car. And I was like, I'm so angry. So because of this woman who just came to this place, just barely 3 months, I was just saying that. And I got to the traffic light. The light was green and it turned yellow. And I stopped. And it turned red. Then I moved.
Wow.
My God. You know, I got a shock, like a panic. I'm like, and another car was coming. And I parked. And I looked around. Is the cops coming? Am I going to get a ticket again? And then I said, oh my God, it's not good to be upset. And you know, I was driving past my workplace. Mm-hmm. I was going because the road was busy. So as I was looking at the workplace, I'm so upset. And I said, Holy Spirit, this is why it's not good to be angry.
Amen. 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 Online, it says we can point out people's sin to warn and encourage, but never in the, okay, so yes, never in the perspective that we are better than them. Yeah, I already read that. All right, so we will continue. Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, I don't know if you intentionally skipped discussion number 6 on page 1 about humility, because I really kind of just feels like that really ties into what we're talking about on page 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I, you know, is it okay if I read the question? I don't know.
Yes.
Oh, make sure you have time. Okay. Yeah. So if we know that humility is the key to diffusing conflict, why do we struggle so much with being humble when it comes to conflicts in relationships? Right, so I think this is something that we all struggle with, right? I think it is always that, yeah, I don't want to give an inch, right? Natural state of man is like, okay, you wronged me, pay back, right? But, you know, it's, as Christians, I know there are people whereby they do a much, I guess by their personality, a lot more humble, right? And there are some of us that we can go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. And we have to have that sense of mind that, Holy Spirit, please help me to be humble in this situation, right? I think of the Beatitudes where Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, right, for they be called children of God, right? Yeah. So we are called to seek reconciliation, yeah, right? Yeah. Humility helps us to achieve that, yeah, right? Our first order of business is to be, not just be quick to take offense. How can I reconcile this conflict versus right, trying to now take the wrong to the power tent,
right?
Right?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that contribution. So the last one is we should learn to forgive people, right? In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, it says that do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what it is right in the eyes of everyone. And in the verse 18, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know, so we've been called to peace. We've been called to be peaceful. In the family, when they are calling the names of the troublemakers, we should not be one of them. Hallelujah. You know, in the church, we should be peacemakers. When there is strife between, you know, two people, we should be the ones that will bring about peace. Amen? Amen. And it's not easy. It's not the easiest. It's easy to say than to do. You know, but with God's help, we will be able to do it. You know, and one of the things that I did not put in the note is being spiritual. You know, being spiritual, fasting, not only during the beginning of the year, and that's good. The corporate fasting is good, but personal fasting is a necessity. Hallelujah. If the Spirit is going to rule inside of us, then we must have a lifestyle of fasting and prayer, because when you fast regularly, you will not even have the strength. When your husband says something that rubs you off the wrong way, you will not have the strength to reply. You know, when you are driving and there is road rage, you will not have the strength to quarrel with every driver on the road. Hallelujah. You know, and studying the word of God, you know, having regular Bible study, personal Bible study, will help us all grow. You know, this past Sunday, you know, Apostle Jide was teaching us on, are you growing? You know, and that's a question that we should ask ourselves. We should make it personal. We should ask ourselves, man, am I growing? You know, and one of the ways we need to grow is in, you know, forgiving, walking in love. Because once upon a time, a preacher said that you must grow in your marriage. Like the things that you used to quarrel about 5 years ago, you shouldn't be quarreling about it, you know, at a certain point in your marriage. You need to be able to grow. You know, and studying the word of God, feeding on the word of God. Scripture tells us that as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word of God so that we'll be able to grow thereby. What does milk do for us? It gives us strong bones, doesn't it? So in feeding on the word of God, it helps us to be able to overlook a lot of things. And it's not easy to overlook a lot of things. Hallelujah. Because some people will, you say it's intentional, but if you walk in love, you'll be able to even forgive those ones. So quickly, let's look at practical ways to avoid quarreling. You know, the first one is try to put emotions aside. Try to put emotions aside. When your emotion is up there and you want to, you know, really, 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 you know, express your emotions and all of that, that is not the good time. You know, put your emotions aside. Also, communicate your side of the story clearly and honestly. Oftentimes, when we are dealing with an issue, we add more to it, you know, in the heat of the moment. You know, all these facts, we add all these facts to the issue that did not exist. We have to avoid that. Also, we need to resist the urge to bring up other unresolved but unrelated issues. You know, this happens often in family gatherings, you know, among siblings, you know, and we need to learn how to deal with this. This also has to do with your temperament. You know, this is something that I personally had to work on. You know, if you are a quiet person, oftentimes you don't address issues immediately. You know, there are some like that who will wait months on, you know, months into the issue and say, hey, do you remember 6 months ago, you know, what you said, you know? And that is not healthy. It's not healthy. We must learn to address the issue time, you know, in a timely fashion. So the next one is try to separate the problem from the person. And this is a hard one, but we must learn to do this. Let's tackle the issue and not the person. Because when you attack the person, it makes the issue bigger, right? And it makes it harder to solve the conflict. So lastly, respect the other person's point of view by paying attention and listening. Amen, church? Amen. And it's hard to do. It's hard to do, but we must learn to do that if we are going to resolve issues. Yes. I think we can take maybe one or two and we'll, yeah.
Praise God. I just wanted to say something because it's part of the things I've had to, like, walk through with God. I feel like, and I stand to be corrected, but I feel like one of the things that God really desires of us is sincerity. And I mean, the Bible says a broken spirit and a contrite heart, he will not despise. So learn to give yourself grace. Just be open. I have come to the conclusion that I am not the perfect person I thought I was. And it's okay. Like, I have failed 1,001 times. I say, tomorrow now I can go and hopefully not in Jesus' name. But I can go and lose it again after we've had this very beautiful Bible study. But the important thing is running back to God. One thing that I find very helpful for me is just having conversations with God, saying, Lord, see, the Bible says that my speech should be great, full of grace and mixed with salt. But sometimes it is very hard. Like, human beings can be very difficult to reach with grace, but I needed to help me. And if I fail, I run back and say, Lord, I failed again. And it's like the last time the time I referred to that I felt very foolish, like I had an issue with someone and my entire Saturday that I had so much plans for was on shutdown. I couldn't do anything again.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt the Lord saying, go and apologize. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm not gonna, and I was just rolling on the bed and rolling. But then at the end of the day, I apologized and I really felt a release. So that's one thing I'm learning, that just keep going back to God. We are all works in progress. Our temperament is both a blessing and could be a curse. So just keep going back. He wants to refine us. And
amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. So we'll take it.
Thank you, Satachi. I have a question. So it says the practical ways to avoid quarreling, but what my question is, do you leave certain issues also unaddressed?
Okay.
And if you don't want to leave it, if you want to address it, then how do you go about addressing it?
Okay. I feel Apostle Jide, she'll answer this one for us.
Scripture, so okay. Pastor Jide can give us the how to really, so actually I was gonna share from Matthew 18, you know, what Jesus told us about how to resolve conflict, because some issues, when you discuss with the person, you made me feel this way, it won't get resolved. Sometimes also, because of how the issue is, the quarrel, it's better for you not to go to the person. Have an intermediary to help diffuse and break things down, because your emotion is still there and we've been told to put emotions aside. So having someone who is objective is very helpful. And we have the, you know, the guidance in Matthew 18 on how to deal with, you know, how to deal with a problem in church, that, you know, have somebody come in, have the discussion. If they don't listen, then you leave them. So I think that's just another way to bring in someone who can be objective and honest into the situation to help resolve it. But then if some cases, yes, cannot be resolved, we just trust God.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor B. So I think our time, how are we doing on time?
So, hello, this is, okay. So the question is if we can leave some things. Well, I think it's a judgment issue and wisdom issue. I think there are times when some things you have to find the right time, the right place, and the right environment to bring up. I mean, obviously we have to resist temptation to postpone things, so it can go on and on. But I also think a lot of time, issues are better not addressed in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we want to address the thing now, especially maybe when someone is angry or when we're arguing, we want to bring issue out. So it's good to also learn the wisdom of choosing the right moment. And the right moment also can help us, because we're also maybe not angry, not in a very calm place, you are also able to present it in a more calm way, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's wisdom in that.
Okay.
As much as possible, I think Matthew 18 really encourages us to start by addressing it in person. Mm-hmm. I think bringing someone too soon can also can make the other person feel ganged up upon or feel exposed.
Yeah.
I think the bringing someone is the second option according to Matthew 18. I think the best is to really call the person aside, let's resolve this, sister to sister, brother to brother, or brother to sister, however. Now, if it doesn't work, then the Bible, then we've definitely say, can we talk to somebody or bring someone in the picture, right? Obviously, the Bible says even if second option doesn't work, there's a third option, right? Mm-hmm. You know, call the leaders of the church. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think we should follow that, you know, that. Now, I want to mention another practical way to avoid quarreling, which is where Jim started from. Mm-hmm. I think is to address the underlying issues. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, quarrel, not all the time, but a lot of time, quarrel are their choices. And, you know, we can choose not to fight over many things.
Right.
All right? And if I'm constantly fighting, it is because something is missing. So maybe I need to get help. Maybe I need to get inner healing prayer. Maybe I need to go for counseling. Maybe I need to speak to a mentor.
Right.
Why is it that I'm always angry when this and that? You know. So I think it's good to, especially if there's a pattern of quarrel in our life. I mean, you've had, you know, 3-4 different friends in the space of, you know, few years, and it's all been same pattern of we break up, we fight.
Right.
Then it's not their fault all the time. It's not all the time that it's them. All these friends of nowadays are just not good, right?
Right.
Maybe I have something deeper. You know, don't just think the world is against you.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, people, cantankerous people, just feel the world is against them. Everybody does. There's just this universe, conspiring against me. No, there is something deeper that I need to work on. And I need to go before God and say, God, please help me to deal with it. If I can't, obviously I can reach out for help. I need to seek counseling, I think it will reduce a lot of quarreling if we take responsibility for what is inside of us.
Thank you very much. I believe that was very exhaustive. You know, thank you so much, Apostle. So at this time, we will bring our Bible study to a close. And at this time, we will take our tithes and offering. Please prepare your tithes and offering at this time, you know. So, as you all know, you can give by text to give. You can also give through the AL app, Cash App, and Zelle. So, let's get it ready and let's pray over it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done. And in response, we give back to you, O God. Bless it. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So whilst you continue with your giving, I'd like to go through the announcements for this week and coming week. So Bible study continues next week at the same time, 7 p.m. Please join us as we continue on the Bible study series.